Get more now from broadcaster and journalist Lauren Booth, live in London for us, in Washington, president of the Middle East Research Center, Richard Hellman, and in Gaza, Joe Catron, with the International Solidarity Movement. Thanks very much for joining this edition of News Analysis. Now, I'll start my first question with Lauren Booth. Lauren, 235 years after America declared independence from the colonial British rule, America needs a new declaration of independence, this time from Israel. That was what the American activists on board the Audacity of Hope declared in their statement, as you may well know. First, I'd like to put that issue up with you and what you make of it.
Well, political sources have been telling me that the reason that the Mavi Marmara was pulled out by Turkey was after pressure from Obama on the Turkish leader, saying that if there were more deaths on the Mavi Marmara, that Turkey would really be on a war footing with Israel, and America would, of course, back Israel. So at that point, Erdogan had no choice but to withdraw Turkish support. Now, that was that can be seen as devastating. That's high-level politicking here, and it shows the clout that America has. And its lack of support for humanitarian initiatives, for peaceful initiatives, for support for freeing the people of Gaza. You know, what's going on with Greece at the moment is very interesting. Again, we've got a country in free fall economically, who previously has always been very supportive of Palestinian calls for justice and statehood. But the blackmail coming from Israel about certain projects to do with gas pipelines in Greece allowed them to suddenly become, you know, really a port of Israel. Greece is now, you know, the siege of Gaza is extended to Greece.
All right, let's go to Richard now in Washington. Richard, the whole thing with the second Gaza flotilla was kind of surprising for everyone when that move was made by Greece. And a lot of people were saying that regional politics is getting involved here. Just before you start answering, I'd like to put this quote to you from Hillary Clinton. She criticized the flotilla organizers, and she says that it would provoke actions by entering into Israeli waters and creating a situation in which the Israelis have the right to defend themselves. This is the quote from Hillary Clinton. But the thing is, why should Israel have that right to defend itself when these boats are no threat, in particular when they are aid boats and they're full of activists?
Well, this whole flotilla effort is clearly seen by Europe and by Greece and by Cyprus and others as what it is. It's a cheap political propaganda ploy. And in fact, Turkey has much more serious interest in the civil war going on in Syria. Turkey must look at what Syria is doing, where tens of thousands are fleeing into Turkey, setting up tent camps. And Bashar al-Assad is killing more than 1,500 peaceful democracy demonstrators in the streets and imprisoning another 10,000. So Turkey has a much more serious issue with a hot civil war on its southern border than it does with a few boats trying to do something which is really unnecessary, because everything that Gaza, the citizens of Gaza, need is flowing freely in with Israel's permission, everything but arms and ammunition. And some of that may be getting in also, but everybody has an interest in keeping the situation calm and preventing arms and ammunition from coming in. And this is not easy to do when you have loose cannons like these political propagandists on these ships coming in. Israel has no way of enforcing the legal blockade that it has. And if the people of Gaza wanted to do, if the government of Gaza wanted to do something, they could create a vibrant economy there instead of what it presently is.
Okay, let's face the argument now. Joe, in Gaza, you were hearing that argument Richard was making there, Joe, of this being a political ploy, in his words, a propaganda ploy. The Israeli argument says also that this is a political provocation. I'd like to have your take on that.
Well, I'm on the record as saying that it is, in fact, a political provocation, and people can call it a propaganda ploy as well if they want to. Knowing something about the fundraising behind it, I wish it had been cheaper than it actually was. Efforts to claim that it's unnecessary because of aid coming into Gaza are cheap, contemptible efforts to change the subject and reframe the debate. Mm. Of course, Gaza's receiving massive quantities of international aid. That's not the issue. This flotilla has never been about international aid. It has never claimed to be about international aid. And Zionists who pretend otherwise are only making fools of themselves publicly. The goal of this flotilla is to stand in solidarity with the Palestinian people who are resisting Israeli colonialism and occupation. That right. is the mission, and that is our goal.
Right. Lauren, would you agree with that, that actually the flotilla is not so much about bringing aid, but is also carrying a political message mainly? And what do you say to those comments by Richard that the people in Gaza actually do not need that aid anyway?
You know, his frankly evil chuckle when we're talking about 1.5 million people under a medieval siege really sums up the hatred and loathing and racism that these Zionists show towards the people of Palestine. Where is your sympathy and where is your humanity? And I cannot for a second believe that someone politically astute isn't aware of UNRWA reports in Gaza that say that tens of thousands of homes still need repairing, that half of Gaza's hospitals damaged during the Holocaust in 2009, inflicted on the people of Gaza by Israel, are still unbuilt, that the children are not getting treatment and that medical aid is desperately needed, as are all other levels of aid to the Gaza Strip. So let's take that off the table and let's just talk about who is on the ships. Because I think this is what frightens Israel. These people are not hardline activists. These are people come from all walks of life. There are teachers on board, there are Christian workers, there are Jews, there are Holocaust survivors, there are good people internationally showing their disgust, quite frankly, with Israel's policy, illegal under international law, of collective punishment of 1.5 million people for crimes they haven't committed. Now, this is a political action, these flotillas. And it's going to be backed in the coming week with people on flights coming to Tel Aviv to yeah. demand the right to get into the occupied territories, because this occupation also is illegal and must end.
Right.
And I think what Zionists, like your other guests there chuckling away like some kind of James Bond baddie in America, need to recognise is that each one of those flotilla people, when they go back, their fundraisers will have hundreds of other people furious at right. this disgraceful sabotage by Israel. Right. And this movement is growing and it's not over, and it's in solidarity with the Palestinian people, and you're losing.
OK, Richard, just speaking about this is all right, a political message that these activists are trying to give, convey to the world and to Israel. Let's speak about how Israel is responding to this. I'd just like to bring a quote to you here from a senior editor of Haaretz, also an Israeli Defense Force medic, a former Israeli Defense Force medic. He has written that there is nearly nothing which more effectively delegitimizes Israel than does the siege of Gaza. And what's more is that one thing that does the work of delegitimization even better is attacking civilians in order to protect the siege, rather that the fact that it is a planning of trying to prevent that siege is in fact delegitimizing Israel itself. So what do you think of that argument?
Well, I think it points up that in Israel, which is the one free liberal democracy in the Middle East, anyone is free to say anything he wants, including something which is patently not accurate or fair, such as this man who is quoted. But what we are looking at is a Middle East which is on fire. It's ablaze with a passion for democracy, freedom, human rights, respect for minority rights. And this is what people should be really concentrating on, not the Palestinian Arab leadership from Hamas and Fatah, who cannot even decide who should be the prime minister, whether they should have democratic elections to legitimize themselves, and whether they should sit down and talk about
nonsense.
Peace with Israel. The problem that the Palestinian Arab people have, and my heart goes out to them, is that they have corrupt kleptocratic.
Get your racism out, buddy. Pardon me.
They have corrupt kleptocratic and ineffective leadership, and so the Palestinian Arabs are suffering not from Israeli occupation, but from their own kleptocratic. Corrupt leadership, which is misleading them. That is their problem. Israel pulled out of Gaza in 2005, lock, stock, and barrel. They could have created Monaco or the Côte d'Azur, or they could have created the Riviera there in Gaza with tens of billions of dollars of international aid. But instead, they have created an autocratic regime,
right,
and a source of tens of thousands of rockets and mortars flying out of Gaza to attack the Israeli communities.
All right.
So
okay.
The question is, who is really at fault? And it really is the leadership of Gaza and of the West Bank, not the Israelis.
All right, Joe, you're in Gaza. Let's speak about what Richard was just speaking there. That's the Hamas government in the Gaza Strip. The Israeli argument that it wants to protect Israel from those rocket attacks that it says are coming from Hamas. And Richard also in his earlier remarks said that the blockade, therefore, on Gaza is illegal. Tell us what you think about that.
Well, Richard is doing what Zionists do, which is trying to sneak an assumption into the debate. He's claiming that Israel has every right to import billions of dollars in advanced weaponry every year, much of which I, as a United States taxpayer, help to subsidize, while the people and government of Palestine have no right to arm themselves against Zionist aggression. This is frankly absurd. Richard claims that the problem here is the leadership, as if 63 years of ethnic cleansing, dispossession, and occupation and apartheid have nothing to do with it. They're just small complications in what would otherwise be a rosy scenario if it weren't for the currently elected government. Finally, he would have us believe that Israel withdrew lock, stock, and barrel, somehow maintaining complete control over the airspace, the oceans, 35% of the farmlands, and the population registry, to say nothing of imports and exports, which prevent any kind of necessary redevelopment from occurring, and yet somehow it's the fault of the government here that it hasn't developed Gaza into the Riviera of the Middle East, using what is construction equipment, I don't know, since the Zionists won't allow any of it in.
Okay, Lauren Booth, I'd just like to go forward with this discussion and go to the next level.
Untrue.
Richard, if you could just allow me to go to this next level, I'll come back to you in a minute. Lauren, we're speaking here of
a
lot of people are saying that the Gaza initiative and the flotilla initiative is just the start of the new Palestinian drive that will eventually lead to that UN bid for Palestinian statehood. And that is what actually Israel is really afraid about. And now that it has won the support of Greece in trying to stop this flotilla, that it is showing that actually it can win the support of Western powers, especially when it comes to that UN bid. So how do you see this issue getting involved here?
Look, the heavy politicking is usually falls in Israel's favor because they have the money and resources and the American government in the palm of their hand. However, people are a resource in this planet, and the popular view changed over the last 10 years that Israel is a criminal state now, that is recognized by an ever-increasing majority of people in Europe and a small but growing amount of people in America. It will change the worldview in a way that putting pressure on countries in economic decline like Greece won't stop. So what we've got next week is we've got 500 or 600 activists all coming into Tel Aviv airport, all demanding their right to go to the Palestinian territories and visit friends and the people there, and to challenge the whole idea of the occupation. At the meantime, you've got hundreds of people trapped in Greece, and you've got people tonight on a French boat off Greece and a Swedish ship on its way to Gaza. The outside world is coming in.
All right, Richard, that's just, although Lauren was speaking there of the public opinion, we know that in the United States, the House of Representatives is scheduled to vote on a bill that proposes sanctions on Palestinians for seeking UN membership. It's calling on them to return to the US-led peace process, and it also opposes the Palestinian unity deal. Now, do you think this bill could not be criticized because it's pressuring the Palestinian people in their attempt to exercise their right to exist, basically, by that Palestinian bid? And it's pushing them into talks that stopped because of Israel's settlement policies.
No, the The talks, the negotiations, could have proceeded 2 years ago, but President Obama raised the bar so high with respect to his opposition to even natural growth of settlements, even enclosing a small porch for a newborn or elderly parents coming home. He raised the bar so high that the Palestinian Authority, led by Mahmoud Abbas, could not come to the table until Israel had already conceded a major point. And this is not how negotiations proceed. So instead of letting the parties proceed to an agreement, as has always been the case between Israel and the Arab nations, such as the Egypt-Israel Accords and the Jordanian-Israel Accords, even the Lebanese-Israeli Accords of 29 years ago, that reached agreement between Israel and Lebanon. Subsequent government literally blew up that agreement. So there could be peace between Israel and all of its neighbors, but for the fact that the radical left-wing organizations that are fostering such things as this unnecessary and dangerous armada, they want to see Israel destroyed, and they use catchphrases which have no application and no applicability to Israel, which indeed is a free liberal democracy, really secular, so that Christians and Muslims in Israel have all the citizenship rights of Jews. I lived in Jerusalem. I was a foreign worker, and I was allowed to vote for mayor of Jerusalem, although I'm a Christian and wasn't even Jewish, and I was allowed to vote for the mayor of Jerusalem. So there's a lot of democracy in Israel. There's very little in the neighborhood, and in fact, the Palestinian Arabs have not elected their own leaders. These are carryovers from past elections, and they have no functioning government today that is freely elected. So I think the Palestinian Arabs should get their act together before pointing the finger at Israel.
All right, well, we have seen the Palestinians in one way getting their act together, and that's with the Palestinian Unity Deal that has been opposed by America and Israel. Joe, do you think, however, that negotiations if I could just put this question to Joe, do you think that negotiations, as Richard is saying, is the way forward peace?
But they have not agreed on any of the essentials. They haven't agreed who should be prime minister. They haven't agreed when they're going to have elections. They haven't agreed who will control the security forces, and they haven't agreed who will control the money. So basically, they have an agreement to make an agreement, which any lawyer will tell you is nothing.
All right, so nothing. Richard, all right, thank you, Richard. So Joe, do you think that negotiations then is the way forward?
Absolutely not. The Palestinians have been negotiating since 1993. Absolutely nothing has come of it. And frankly, I see no reason to believe that anything will happen going forward. Zionists would have us believe that Palestinians are required to obtain. I'd be interested in knowing which deal he's talking about that didn't involve the renunciation of essential Palestinian rights universally recognized under international law, such as the right of return. The point is that these rights are the goal of the Palestinian struggle. The goal is not a Bantustan, demilitarized, surrounded on every side by a hostile nuclear power, very much like an Indian reservation in the United States, whose inhabitants, unlike those on Indian reservations in the United States, have no right to vote in the national elections and no right to use national passports. That's what the Zionists are advocating when they talk about a two-state solution. They have no interest in a viable Palestinian state. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, Joe, sorry for stopping you there. Because we're running out of time, I'd just like to put this last question to Lauren in the time we have left. Ron, if you could just tell us in less than a minute, I know you're getting involved in the Flotilla, if I'm not mistaken, campaign. Tell us about that and whether you think at the end of all this that Israel may actually become violent again on this second flotilla and this second aid campaign.
Israel is terrified of nonviolent action because it reveals its violent nature. The people coming on the flights this Friday from hundreds of destinations around the world. Israel has surrounded its airport at Tel Aviv Ben Gurion with soldiers. It's talking of rerouting flights. This kind of civilian action is really what terrifies Israel more than anything. And it's happening within Palestine, in Bileyn, to the protests at Colundia this week as well, in protest of the wall, and protests in Gaza, yeah, where people go to the checkpoints and ask for freedom. And this where Israel's violence, hysteria,
Lauren,
will
I'm
be shown
I'm afraid
again.
I've got to stop you because we've run out of time. Broadcaster and journalist Lauren Booth in London. I'd also like to thank President of the Middle East Research Center, Richard Hellman, in Washington, and with the International Solidarity Movement, Joe Catron in Gaza. Thanks very much for being on this edition of News Analysis from me, Homa Lezgi. It's goodbye.